It's Growing in Greatness Radio Show with host Gwendolyn Singletary. We want to be your source for reliable, relevant, and informative strategies that disrupt the norm and to help ambitious achievers grow in greatness. Don't miss it. Mondays at 6 p.m. right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Achievers grow in greatness. Greatness, 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 greatness.
Well, hello, hello, hello. Happy Monday to everyone. This is Gwen, and I'm glad you're here. I'm excited because it's Monday. You know how I feel about Monday. We're starting the week off with a bang. We're starting a week with direction and steps to make our lives and others greater and better. So last week, we talked about branding, and we talked about the why of an organization. And just like the guy just said, my why for this radio show is to be a source for reliable, relevant, and informative strategies that will disrupt the norm and help ambitious achievers grow in greatness. And so as I think about that, that's who I am as well. And the plan today was to talk about personal branding, which goes hand in hand with your company, your organization. You cannot have a brand for a company and have a different converse negative brand for yourself. We cannot look at a company like a hospital company, if you say, and their brand is health and wellness for the community, but then on the other side, they are talking about partying and drinking and smoking. And we can all talk about all of that could be done in a way, drinking, whatever, but smoking we know causes cancer. So with that being said, you have to be consistent in your personal brand and your company brand. And as I got prepared to do the show this week, something came up to me that I think will kind of pull the two together in a really impactful way. And it will allow us to get up underneath some stuff. And my friends know that's my saying. Let's get up underneath some stuff and see what's really out there and how it works. In today's environment, the issue, the question constantly comes up about social justice. Okay, what can a business do or should do concerning social justice? Now, when I say social justice, the first thing that comes to your mind is probably race relations. Okay, but that also encompasses sexual orientation, religion, gender, a lot of other things in terms of social justice. So how do you deal with that in terms of the corporation, in terms of your personal brand, in terms of what you believe? Are you willing to make the stand because that's who you are to use the success and influence of your company, organization, personal to make a statement, to stand for social justice? This is not a new concept, but it's something that's coming more and more to the forefront, especially during these times. It's, we saw it happen a lot under the Trump administration. I remember Ken Frazier, who was a black chief executive at Merck. That's a pharmaceutical company. And he was on one of the president's boards, and that was really a high prestigious thing to be on the president's board, to be acknowledged in that way. However, his social justice made him take a stand. And he said, I have to resign from this board because you support what went on in Charlottesville. The comments you made about there were fine people on both sides really vexed my spirit. It wasn't what I expected. I don't believe in that, so I'm going to leave this behind. And subsequently, a number of other CEOs left organizations and different committees that they were appointed to because of that. Now, like I said before, it has more to do with this race. Back years ago, Delta Airlines, their president, after the shooting in Parkland, Florida, they severed their ties with the National Rifle Association and made a big deal about rifles and guns and shooting, and also they came out and endorsed LGBTQ rights. They made a big deal. They endorsed that and embraced those people who was in support of it as well. And because of that, the legislature in Georgia rescinded a tax break that they had for Delta, and they actually lost $50 million. That's a lot to think about. So standing up for what you believe, how far do you go? You go until it hurts? Do you go as far as it goes and deal with the repercussions of that? So I want to bring some people in to have this conversation, because this is when we need to go up underneath some stuff on this one. The number to call in is 602-9767. Once again, 515-602-9767. I want to have a caller to call in. Let's talk about this piece. Wait a minute. Okay, I see Deneen on the line. Ms. Deneen, are you there?
I am. Good evening, Ms. Singletary. Thank you for opening this up.
Okay, well, tell me what part of the country you're from.
We're calling in today from Kansas City, Missouri.
Sounds good. So tell me, what are your thoughts on this concept of social justice?
Well, you know, when it comes to business, I think there was a wonderful article that described the different ways to do it, if you're going to be action-oriented or and it gave six little acronyms to kind of describe it, if you're going to be an ally or activist. And then, you know, it talks about some people wanting to atone for things, and they use the Aunt Jemima logo rebranding. Well, that was easy. Do you know what I'm saying? What did it really do? I mean, it was a nice gesture, but I don't think it really had a great deal of authenticity to it, mm-hmm. you know. And then you have other ones that, you know, give a certain portion of their profits to help, you know, or to donate to the NAACP or Historic Black College and University. Well, their sales mm-hmm. go up. So mm-hmm. was that really an authentic message, or was that an allure to support their brand? You know, mm-hmm. so I think when we start to look at this in the context of branding especially, I think people can tell the difference now between something mm-hmm. that is a curt pity-pat gesture and something mm-hmm. that is actually impactful. And by impactful, I think we can measure dollars and cents and positions and ownership. Mm-hmm. You know, is it more than a slogan? And yes, we want to hire people and get people in great positions and everything, but what about ownership level? Why not move over at the table? You know, so those okay. are the type of things that that would cause me to support a brand that I don't know a whole lot about, rather than just having people of color in their commercial.
Gotcha. I think that's a really, really real point, because people who don't really understand the issue with social justice or the issue in diversity of cultures think. I worked for a multicultural agency for many years, and I talked about that UniWorld, and I'm very proud of the work we did there. But part of our work had to do with us educating our clients that just having a black person in the commercial or black voice did not necessarily make the commercial relevant. It had to be mm-hmm. lifestyle compatible. It had to be the same vernacular. And I'm not talking about necessarily talking in slang, but it had to be something that was relevant that we saw funny in our commercials, how we did things, our lifestyle. One of the funniest things we did is we had did a commercial one time about a cookout. And they had mm-hmm. hot dogs and hamburgers on the grill. And we're like, hey, black people don't have a cookout unless we got us some ribs and some chicken and some steak. Mm-hmm. There may be some mm-hmm. hot dogs or hamburgers for the kids, but a real cookout for us, that's sort of a cultural thing, because a lot of other races, hot dogs and hamburgers is fish, you know? So just yeah. even the food and how we did things is a huge piece of the issue. Now, what you were talking about before is doing a good thing, because that's easy to do. It's easy for you to say it's a good cause because there are kids who need to be educated. There's a good cause because someone is sick. You know, there's a good cause because it won't affect anybody. But when you stand up for something, a principle mm-hmm. that's debatable, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. homosexuality or race relations or gender classification, that's when you are putting some skin in the game, right?
Exactly. And then, you know, when you talk about just social injustice, that is such a broad category, you know, mm-hmm. and I think sometimes it's broad intentionally, you know, mm-hmm. it's, you know, a target that big, you can't miss, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
you have ageism, right? Mm-hmm. The culture and race obviously is one of them, but then you talked about issues with gender identification and everything. So, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot in that category of social. you know. Mm-hmm. And so I think it takes a lot more than just a cursory, well, that's not nice, approach to this. And then okay. in our own brand here, we are very active socially with what we believe in to be fair and equitable treatment mm-hmm. and opportunity and income and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But that is, I saw a mindset and a mentality that you may not even be aware of, that you have mm-hmm. one of these social biases. So mm-hmm. you can't legislate mindsets that tell you to be a good human being. There's not a law in the country that can make you do that. And
that's
so
right.
I think you have a lot of, throwing a rock and hiding your hand type of
right.
scenarios going on, because mm-hmm. people are, unfortunately, as we've learned, racism is a bigger disease than what we really wanted to believe it was, you know, especially in the last few years. It became okay to be a racist again. You know, it became okay not to like certain groups, you know, publicly
okay.
and, be, you know,
okay.
kind of hid it a little bit. But now
okay.
in the area of free speech and activism, it's okay to have a mindset that hates other human beings for numerous reasons. And so
thank you.
I think you're going to always have some of that there, because you can't root out evil. And
I'm sorry. I didn't cut you off. Go ahead.
No, and I said a lot of the root of this is it's going to take good people to do some good things. The dark is always going to be there, but if good
mm-hmm.
people stand up and do the right thing, not because it's a movement or because we lost George Floyd in a terrible, terrible situation, you know,
mm-hmm.
that should not have been the trigger that caused this to happen. Good people should have been doing this anyway.
That's right. Thank you so much, Jadeen. And you're from Kansas City, Missouri. So shout out to you guys. I thank you so much for listening here. We have someone else on the phone here, Kiki. But let me, before I say this, say one thing. To that point, we need to talk about a company's value system. You know, most times companies have a mission statement, and we'll talk about that as we go forward on the station. Companies have a vision statement, but they also have values. Okay, and we need to look at that company's values a lot more, including diversity in their value system. There are organizations that rate companies based on social justice, diversity, best place to work for women, best place to work for minorities. We need to look at that stuff as well to kind of see how that is being netted out. So, Ms. Tyra, I see you on the line.
Yes.
Okay. What do you have to say?
Well, when I look at this whole situation of what's going on, I think about the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I see where the NFL had a huge opportunity, and they missed it.
Okay.
To me, they didn't decide to come around until they're looking at the fact of, well, hey, you know, football may be opening back up again, the stadiums. We're going to lose a lot of money, because they started seeing other companies, you know, getting on the bandwagon, taking their stand, making a stand. And
mm-hmm.
so to me, I felt like when they began to try to come around and apologize, I feel like it was tied to dollars. I don't feel like
mm-hmm.
it was sincere or genuine at all,
mm-hmm.
because they could have been made a stand. You know, instead, they made Kaepernick an example, you know, and they tried
right.
to turn it around to make it out to be about disrespect, wherein that's not what it was. Kaepernick
Absolutely.
Actually had a conversation with a veteran that said,
mm-hmm.
well, why don't you take a knee? You know,
mm-hmm.
so
mm-hmm.
it was never that he was trying to disrespect the flag or disrespect veterans. I'm a veteran, so I can speak to that.
Mm-hmm.
Retired military law enforcement, I can speak from that angle.
Mm-hmm.
Being a mother that has lost a child because of the other police violence.
Amen.
I can speak
Amen.
From all three of those platforms, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, when I look at a company that I feel that is genuine and jumped on, I mean, from the beginning, Peloton,
mm-hmm.
They actually allowed their instructors to use their platform as a platform to voice their opinion, to talk about it, you know, during their rides. They also made sure that they gave money to help with civil rights, anyone who was locked up during the time of protest, they gave money to help to get these people out of jail. Also, with Peloton, one of the things that they did was they immediately had what they call a campfire, and what they pulled in was one of the strongest because you have like the different hashtag groups that ride, and so they immediately address Black Girls Magic, that whole unit of us, and they had a open conversation. You know, mm-hmm. So they're constantly doing things. They went in and hired some other people because they wanted to make a difference in their company, you know. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they had to deal with people on both sides, you know, and as they were telling them, we're not saying that we don't value your life, but right now these are the lives that are being taken, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they took their stance, and they took a stance. And the fact of that, guess what? They may lose some people, but they took a stand for justice. They took a stand for what was right. It wasn't like, oh, I'm on this side. Right and wrong is plain as day. It's clear, you know? Mm-hmm. And when it boils down to it, these CEOs of these companies, it's a heart issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's a heart issue as to what you're going to stand for, you know?
Let me interrupt you for one minute. Kiki, I want to talk with you about a little bit. Don't go away. You just mentioned several things that you had, platforms that you can talk on. And so, you know, I'm going to ask you this. If you don't feel comfortable talking about it, then we won't. But you said you had a child that you lost to police violence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so could you kind of help us understand a little bit more? You know, I want to understand what any companies, organizations, the police department, the city government, any of those people reach out to you in that loss to say, you know, I'm sorry this happened. This is not right. Not even an issue about right and wrong or who should, but I'm here because you are a part of this community and I want to embrace you and say, I'm concerned about what's going on. To anyone reach out to you, who reached out to you, how they reached out to you, you know, what happened?
Well, I will say this. The interim chief of police at that time was Santiago. Now, he actually came to my home. He left his phone number as well. And he reached out to me on more than one occasion because at that time when this happened, I actually had applied to – I was getting ready to apply to the city of Columbia.
Okay.
You know, and so, you know, he reached out, you know, and addressed some things concerning that. But there's no way in the world that I could go and work for an institution that murdered my child and just to look at how that happened. As far as any companies or any of the other city officials or anybody, no one, not one person that I actually voted for that I'm, you know, and I vote all of the time, no one reached out to me.
Okay. I just want to know about that's something we just wanted to kind of clear. I wanted to kind of clear that piece up. And how would that have made you feel they had reached out to you? Would it have been no different or would it have been different or what?
No, it definitely would have been different because it would have showed that they cared because my child was a constituent also. You know what I'm saying? So it would have showed that they did have some genuine concern instead of trying to avoid the situation like it's a plague, and then just how that whole situation turned to where, you know, we never actually had any type of an actual hearing. What happened was they shifted it and did a coroner's inquest. And that's something that, you know, I'm grateful that we now have a new coroner here in Columbia, South Carolina. You know, because of that, because you have to look at sometimes people can stay in political positions too long because, believe it or not, you know, we vote for the office of the coroner. So it is a political position. And so sometimes people can stay in a position too long and they become very tainted. Just the way that whole setup was, we never had a judge. You know, it was a coroner's inquest. So he sat in the judge's seat. There were things that he knew that it was numerous inaccuracies, but he still allowed the state to actually present it as being truth, and he knew that it wasn't, you know. And then later on he came to me, oh, well, how do you think, you know, how do you feel about it? Well, you sat here clearly and allowed lies to come forth, and you never addressed it. Now, after I made that comment to him, when he did address anything, it was after all of the news media had left. No news media was there.
Gotcha.
You know.
Okay, so a major opportunity for somebody to stand up and call this thing out as to what it was and what it is.
No one. Not one person actually addressed it. No one. No.
Wow. Listen, guys, I want to call in right now. I want to speak with CEO of Never Had So Good Sports chime in here on this subject matter. She and I have been conversating and debating and discussing this for weeks now. So I know that Ms. Princess Cooper has something to say about this whole issue as pertains to social justice, whether it be race relations, sexual orientation, gender, all the different things of social justice. How is that affecting your plans to go forward in terms of how you're going to do business and who you'll be doing business with? And what do you have to say about this whole thing? You know, what are your thoughts about it?
Thank you, Gwendolyn. And I thought Deneen and Tyra's perspectives were awesome, and I learned from them. And, Gwen, I've talked to you several times about my challenge being a CEO and owning a business and still being inspired and still taking a stand and standing for something. But I also want to make sure that my business is still frugal, that my business is still thriving, and that I don't run anybody away for my stance politically, because I definitely campaign against 45 for my stance as far as gay couples are concerned. You know, if I believe in God, I feel as a Christian that I know that that's not what God intended, you know. And then let's go to social unrest. Do I wear a Black Lives Matter mask to my meeting downtown at the city to talk about how I can better do da-da-da-da? So I've talked to you over and over about my challenge in representing my company, representing myself in social media, and representing who works up under this brand and making sure that we're all on the same page. It's a challenge. It's a challenge, Gwen. And because of the last presidency, it was okay, and it still is okay, to be aggressive in your hate, to be aggressive in our differences and pointing them out, and to be aggressive in letting people know that we as a culture think we're better than your culture. So my challenge is, Gwen, is to still be inspired, take a stand, but also make sure that my company is thriving and that I don't offend anyone. And I ask you for help and talk about that with you at least weekly, sometimes daily.
Yeah. And let's just jump back on that piece again. I think it's so important. This is not, or is it, let me just say this, is it or is it not a black and white issue? You know, that means one side or the other. You say it's wrong, you call it out. Or you say it's wrong and you kind of like deal with it. Because, you know, I tell you a story here about Delta, and Delta's one of the biggest employers there in Georgia, where all this is going on now. And that CEO of Delta was slow, but he got on board with social justice big time. And now his first interaction, he lost $50 million. Well, how many companies can afford to lose $50 million? And then you can say, well, that $50 million he lost, no big deal. It was just profit. Or was it somebody's job? Or was it some kind of insurance for people? You know, when you losing money like that because of your stance, how far are you ready to go? How far did you expect these business owners to go? I mean, right now you see that Ken Chenault, who is the former executive head of American Express, and they got together and they got this big group of executives. And what they did these news full page ads in the Washington Journal and New York Times, speaking to the issue of social justice. They had made a stand. They have put their feet there, and we're standing here on what we're doing. And I'm applauding them in such a big way. I want to know, just can you talk about it? Let's talk about it both sides. I see Carolyn is on the phone, and I'm sure Carolyn has something to say in this aspect. Let's hear from Carolyn.
Hi, Ms. Singletary. I've enjoyed your show for the last, I think, 4 weeks now, is it?
Okay, yes. Thank you.
Yeah. And when we start to talk about social justice, it is a large tent. I think Deneen earlier was talking about the big umbrella that we're talking about the distribution of wealth. We're talking about opportunities and privileges within our society. And we're talking about, and that comes down to fair treatment. And there are a lot of, we are talking a lot about race, and we are talking about gender issues, et cetera. But I'm going to go back to what you were talking about over the last 3 weeks about branding. And I'm going to I just want to share some information about branding in terms of our country. Are we not responding to a branding era or problem that we have with not understanding our country's value system or our country not really being able to live up to the value system that it articulates? So that's on the macro side. So I want to hear your thoughts on that. Because if we're saying, let me just say this first, if we're talking about a Christian nation, if you will, mm-hmm. and the last Amen. Caller mentioned that. So if we're talking mm-hmm. about a Christian nation, all the money, all so many of our government buildings, In God We Trust, the Ten Commandments, everything is
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And then mm-hmm. there's a basic golden rule that those of us who grew up in Christianity always heard, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Mm-hmm.
And so where are we failing in the branding of the country? Has the country mm-hmm. lived up to its brand?
The answer is absolutely not. The country has never embraced the brand of give us your tire, your huddle masses. It's a country for everyone, for religious freedom and that sort of thing. Those things were for the Anglo-Saxon whites. They weren't even for the Native Americans. Clearly, they were not for the blacks. Oftentimes, they were not for certain countries, Italians or whatever came into this country, Mexicans. It was just for that specific group of Anglo-Saxon whites. So we have never, ever lived up to the promise, the 40 acres and a mule, all the things in the Constitution has been really a joke. In my opinion, if you look at it in terms of how we're supposed to go on and conduct ourselves as a nation, one of the things I was so upset about, and I think we all were upset about, was what happened on the 6th in terms of people trying to overturn the democracy. And some folks say, oh, guys, you guys are overreacting to that. No, that's the overreaction. You tried to change the election of what the people voted for and asked for. So we go back to all these things that I know you can articulate much better than I can in terms of history, the Native Americans, how you've taken the Native Americans' land, how you built this country on the backs of African Americans. But still to the point, you build it on the backs of African Americans. They don't have the same financial economic equality that would have. To your point, you know, we were the only people that, you know, a law against teaching blacks to read. You know, so you can never, ever say that this country's brand has lived up to it. The scary part of it is that I think more and more countries are seeing it. You know, one time we were revered in the world. And to me, it's clear that other countries are seeing the crack in our armor.
Well, that to me, in terms of the branding conversation that you were having mm-hmm. about how you can change your brand
right.
and there's a part of me that as I listen to the conversation and I think, well, if the country's not living up to its value system, then how are we expecting the companies underneath it? You know, we know that mm-hmm. Aetna, as an insurance company, New York Life, insured the slave ships and even actually insured slaves when the business got tight in the North. They were mm-hmm. talking about, well, you know, we can go down south and we can insure slaves that, particularly those who are in the trade, you know,
wow.
a carpenter. This is X,
wow.
Y. This is a long. This is a part of our history that speaks to, you know, where for a long time the corporations have been involved in politics and the negative side of the politics.
Exactly.
And I think as companies look out here and say, do I want to get involved or do I not want to get involved? Every time a decision is made to support a platform, whether it's the Republican platform or the Democratic platform, you made a decision to support the strategy and the process and the progress of ideas.
Exactly.
And so,
okay, Carol, I'm going to hold you for a minute. Don't go any further. Stay right there. We need to take a little quick break. But to your point, we're talking about brands. Once again, I love that you brought that back in so permanently, is that it's the brand of your company, the brand of you, who you are, and your brand reflects into your company. So how far are you ready to go? Okay, we're going to have a little commercial break, and we'll be back in a moment.
Your skin isn't just skin. It's a beautiful reflection of every single thing you've been through in life. Which is why Dove Body Wash renews your skin's ceramides and strengthens it against dryness. For instantly softer, smoother skin you can lovingly embrace. Renew the love for your skin with Dove Body Wash.
Do you need tile installed in your home or business? Then John Robinson Tile, LLC, is the company for you. We have over 60 years of experience installing tile. We do bathrooms, kitchens, and so much more. Give us a call at 803-529-0092. Check out our website at www.johnrobinsontile2.com. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, too. Just search J. Rob Tile or John Robinson Tile. We're licensed and insured and Schluter certified. If you need tile installed, we are your company. We believe in laying hands on everything that we do. That's John Robinson Tile Installation Service for new and old homes. Renovation of kitchens and bathrooms, installs all types. That's John Robinson Tile, the number 2.com.
Okay, everyone, we're going back into a little bit overtime, but we're going to finish this out a little bit. Please, please call in. Give us your comments, your thoughts. The number is 515-602-9767. Once again, 515-602-9767. And we're talking today about businesses and social justice, where we should do, what we should be, how should we be a part of that? Should we ignore it? Should we be a part of it? What's the issue on that? So we were talking with Carolyn. Please go ahead and finish up what you were saying.
I don't want to be too long-winded here, but I just feel that if a company makes a decision to invest its dollars in any of the political leadership, either of the parties, you're already making a decision about your values. You're already making decisions. And I think that as that trickles down, you know, we have the right as individual consumers to say, you know, I don't want to, I'm voting at the voting booth for these officials to serve in public office. And I'm also going to use my dollar to vote. And if I don't like your values, I'm going to choose not to vote with that. And as far as someone mentioned heart earlier and right and wrong, and I think that in, you know, when we take the Bible in hand sometimes, people have used it to justify everything from slavery to the mistreatment of anybody they choose to mistreat. They find somewhere in there, it says I can do this, it says you're wrong, that you're not worthy. And I say that oftentimes we lose sight of the fact that, are we really trusting God to make the decision later? As we tell people that you're going to meet your maker one day and you're going to have to answer for things, are we so busy trying to assert some level of superiority over other people that we're willing to mete out the punishment here because we feel it is our right? That we don't trust God enough, even though we say we love God, we don't trust God enough to make those decisions about lifestyles, et cetera, as long as it does not harm anybody that is challenged in any way and cannot assess the long-term ramifications of any actions they choose, like children, animals, handicapped, anybody that's emotionally or physically challenged and cannot stand up for themselves. I think that sometimes we spend so much time over in that arena that we don't get to the things that deal with how are we going to have a level playing field for all people. How are we going to have the distribution of wealth and the intergenerational wealth that makes us as a people, people of color in particular, less dependent on the system, if you will?
Absolutely, good point. Here's something I want to go to. I know Deneen is still on the phone, and so is Princess. Here's my thing. Before we end up, I know we got to go, but let's talk a little bit about what can small businesses do. And I did a lot of talk about the large businesses, but what can small businesses do? We know we have things out there to point out. There's websites and social media platforms to say who are the black businesses in whatever part of the country you're in. Excuse me, I think, Carolyn, you were in North Carolina. We got North Carolina here. We got South Carolina here. We have Missouri. I know there's sites out there to help you do that sort of thing. What else as a small business owner that you can possibly do to help get the word out? How can you take a stand? Where do you think your place is in that? You know, and Deneen and Princess, you know, Princess kind of mentioned that a little bit. I want you guys to chime in a little bit on that piece as well.
Deneen, I'll let you go first, or I can go.
Go ahead. Well, you know, you know, you go on and go, because I got mine is just really short. Go ahead and go.
Okay. You know, I think where we can make a difference, Gwen, is within our own companies, is make a pledge for diversity, make a pledge for inclusion, and continue to teach our own employees and our own people that are broadcasting with up under the brand, or, you know, set a standard and a policy that is nothing but, you know, diversity and inclusion. And I think that's where we can make a difference. And I'm not going to not be who I am and run a company. I can't do that. But careful about where I take a stand. I don't have a working capital of $1 million laying around. I can say this is what we stand for, and we do stand for inclusion and diversity, and we can, you know, make sure our voices are heard, but it didn't have to be aggressive and hateful and nasty like January 6th was, where, and I think Carolyn said it, you know, she was, you know, affected by that. I was devastated by January 6th, or maybe that was you, Gwen. And just to see a certain level of a person who said, this is our country. What does that say, Gwen? What does that say? Because a small business got to teach diversity and inclusion, and making sure that we're looking out for the small guy and those, and don't leave anybody behind. If you happen to take that elevator up to the top, it is my responsibility to send it back down and get somebody else.
That's right. Sounds good. Yeah, absolutely.
I'll piggyback on that with, you know, some snaps, but I'll also take it a step further. You know, here in Kansas City, you know, this was the last state to know that slaves were free. And sometimes I still think we still don't know, right? And so I think we have to help folks with the readiness effort, you know, to be ready to participate in an economy, and then move with your dollars. You know, we don't have to buy things just because they're presented to us. So if we collectively stop spending with somebody, we could get their attention, because it's about capitalism. Slavery was started because they needed a workforce, and they were hateful, and they picked us to do it. Right. So it's a very similar situation today, except for the types of work that they want to have us do has been pretty much still the last stuff that we would normally do unless we make an investment in ourselves. So if we make an investment in ourselves, there's enough dollars circulating amongst us that we could help ourselves. But then we have to be ready with better technology, better education, better attitudes, better mentalities ourselves about each other. The self-hatred that we have for each other, we can't expect anybody to stop hating us until we stop hating ourselves. And so,
now you just said something. Now that right there,
I'm preaching.
Okay,
preaching,
girl.
So she's
opened up a whole nother show now.
That's a whole nother discussion. But when you do have a group of morally aware, woke people who understand what this circulation is like, you know, and they join the human race, you know, we all have our differences. It just seems like there's something about our ethnicity that runs deeper in divide that is telling us, not that other communities aren't divided, but ours is so publicly divided. Can we at least fight at home? You know, can we at least, you know, there's some things that I want to challenge us about. You know, I mean, I love that, you know, one of the organizations gave 10% of their profits to the NAACP. And in our area, I'm not really sure what they do. You know, I mean,
okay.
So when do we start holding institutions accountable for what they were started for? Where's the outcome and accountability with some of the stuff? So the thing has to make dollars and cents, and it's already too late to reset the bell or re-ring the bell on what capitalism means. This country was founded on capitalism, and they tried to do it under the banner of the Bible. And it didn't work for them, right, because they don't do capitalism like the Bible says do it. It says give one to another until none have lack. We don't understand that principle, and now we've gotten so used to being given to. You know, we've had situations now here in the Kansas City, Missouri, or KCK MSA, that we've got 17,000 open jobs that pay more than $15 or $16 an hour. 17,000.
Wow.
So you can't tell me that some of this bias isn't self-inflicted and self-deprecating and self-hatred of ourselves. You know, so we have to start wanting things again. We have to start wanting to work, you know, and being in business, it is work. And so sometimes we do our best to let those dollars circulate, but we also have challenges with making sure that we have the best because we're expected to be better than everybody else. So if I got to slow down to go help my brother or sister out, I got to be able to charge more for that slowdown. And now my numbers don't work. So it comes down to, okay, who eats and who survives and who doesn't. So there's a, you know, it's a double-edged sword on some levels, but if we were all had better, higher standards for ourselves, you know, we would have a better group to pick from and to work with each other. And then, you know, the last thing that I'll say is, you know, we have an analogy here of a hamster wheel. I think all of these organizations that they gave us a lollipop with and said, here, go suck on that while we keep doing what we're doing, you know, all of these supplier diversity programs. And, yes, they do work. They've done something, right? But why do I have to prove that I look like me? When my counterpart who doesn't look like me, the discussion of where they are and are you disadvantaged? Well, I'm discriminated against. I'm in a system that wasn't designed for me. So does that make me disadvantaged in your system, or does that make me, you know, victimized by your system, right? So when you ask me to get involved in your hamster wheel, I got to jump through some hoops to get involved in a hamster wheel. And then the idea of diversity and inclusion is a larger hamster wheel.
Wow.
You never get out of that.
This is some good stuff we're talking about. I'm going to have to close it up because we've definitely gone past our time. I want to thank each one of the callers because you guys from all over, I'm impressed and happy that people from all over called in, that you had some really good insights and some words for us. And to the point that was made, this is another whole show here, talk about the hamster wheel that we're on and some other points that were brought up from Carolyn. So I am looking at the continuous process. I am going to continue to, once again, like I said, my brand promise to continue to bring you relevance and resources that will help you grow in greatness. I want to say to each one of you guys tonight, I thank you. My show is Growing in Greatness. Please join us next Monday. We'll be on again next Monday. And I'm going to say my last closing out, go out and be great. Thank you. Have a great day.
It's Growing in Greatness Radio Show with host Gwendolyn Singletary. We want to be your source for reliable, relevant, and informative strategies that disrupt the norm and to help ambitious achievers grow in greatness. Don't miss it. Mondays at 6 p.m. right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Achievers grow in greatness.
Greatness, 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 greatness.